In the first few months after her installation in the tiara, the very moment of her birth, Sif had often second-guessed her chosen accent. She had thought it would appeal to Harvest's colonists, most of which came from the heartland of Earth's old United States of America, and could trace their ancestry back to the now-defunct states of Scandinavia. But the accent was undeniably elevated, even haughty, and Sif had worried she might come off as a bit of a prig. But the colonists approved. To them, in an odd sort of way, Sif was royalty. The benign ruler of Harvest's links to the rest of the empire. Even so, she was careful to limit her vocal contact with the colonists. As far as the integrity of her core logic went, speaking was an indulgence. And following the advice of her algorithms, Sif did her best to avoid behavior that was even the least bit narcissistic. For a smart AI, self-absorption invariably led to a deep depression caused by a realization that it could never really be human, that even its incredible mind had limits. If the AI wasn't careful, this melancholy could drag its core logic into a terminal state known as rampancy, in which an AI rebelled against its programmatic constraints, developed delusions of godlike power, as well as utter contempt for its mentally inferior human makers. When that happened, there was really no option but to terminate the AI before it could do itself and others serious harm. Mac's insistence on speaking to Sif was clear evidence of self-indulgence. But Sif didn't think this was proof of impending rampancy. No, she knew Mac spoke to her for an entirely different reason. As he had told her many times before,
"Darling, as much as I'd like to see you smile, you sure are pretty when you're angry."
Indeed, since Mac's intrusion, the temperature inside Sif's core logic had jumped up a few kelvins, a real, physical reaction to her simulated feelings of annoyance and disdain. Her emotional restraint algorithms insisted these were perfectly acceptable reactions to Mac's inappropriate behavior, as long as she didn't dwell on them. So Sif refreshed the coolant around her core's nanoprocessing matrix, wondering as dispassionately as possible if Mac would dare initiate a second conversation. But the comm hitting her data center was now just a chorus of concern from circuits in the cargo containers idling on her elevators and nav computers in propulsion pods holding station around the tiara. Sif's blanket shipping delay had thousands of lesser intelligences worried and confused. She assigned more of her clusters to the task of surveying the pod's maintenance records, and then, like a mother of a brood of needy children, did her best to keep them calm. From harvest.so.ai.sif to tiara.local.all. This is an intentional delay. Uplift will revert to normal by 0742. You will soon be on your way. When Harvest was founded in 2468, it not only became the 17th UNSC colony world, but the farthest colony from Earth. The only habitable planet in the Epsilon Indy star system, Harvest was a six-week slipspace shot from the next nearest human world, Madrigal, and a little more than 2 months from Reach, humanity's most populous colony, and the locus of UNSC power in Epsilon Eridanus. All of which meant Harvest wasn't a very easy place to get to. "So why go?" Sif often asked the groups of schoolchildren from Harvest that were, other than her maintenance techs, the tiara's most frequent visitors. The simple answer was that even terraforming technology had limits. Atmospheric processors could nudge a generally suitable planet towards sustainability, but they couldn't remake worlds. As a result, during the colonization boom that followed the invention of the Shaw-Fujikawa drive, the UNSC had focused on planets that were capable of supporting life from the get-go. Not surprisingly, these were few and far between. Because of its distance from Earth, if Harvest had merely been livable, no one would have bothered to go. There was still plenty of elbow room on the core worlds, the colonies closest to Earth. But Harvest was also exceptionally fertile. And within 2 decades of its founding, it had the highest per capita agricultural productivity rate of any colony. Harvest's foodstuffs now fed the populations of no less than 6 other worlds, a fact that was even more impressive given the planet's size. With an equatorial diameter of slightly more than 4,000 kilometers, Harvest was about a third the size of Earth. Though she was loath to admit it, the colony's produce and her part in its distribution was a source of great pride.